This is America Weekend. I am Paul Harris. There's a new documentary called America's Longest War. It's not about Iraq. It's not about Afghanistan. It's not about Vietnam. It is about the war on drugs, or as I always call it, the failed war on drugs, which was begun a little over 40 years ago during the Nixon presidency. And with each succeeding president, more and more money has been spent on the war on drugs. How's that going so far? Well, if you watch this documentary, I think you would say, not so well. Paul Fine is the writer and director of Reason Magazine's new documentary, America's Longest War, and joins me now. Paul, welcome to America Weekend.
It's great to be here, Paul. Thanks.
How much money is spent annually on our failed war on drugs?
Well, you know, it depends on how you count it. Roughly it's $50 billion a year. Since Nixon declared war, we're talking upwards of $1 trillion.
$1 trillion. And what have we gotten for that money?
Well, you know, the war on drugs, the drug policy set out to reduce the availability of illicit drugs, to lower demand, and neither of those things has happened. Drugs are more available than they've ever been before in our country. Usage rates go up and down, but they certainly haven't plummeted. So it's failed on its own terms.
You know, you've got a chart in the movie that shows that tobacco use in the last 30 or 40 years has dropped dramatically. But with $1 trillion spent on trying to keep marijuana, cocaine, heroin, and other illegal drugs away from Americans, the number of people who are using it, percentage-wise, is still about the same. Why has the government been effective in getting the tobacco message across, but not the drug message?
Well, because the government's not running around shooting people or busting into the homes of people who are smoking tobacco. I mean, this has been an educational campaign, and that's, you know, the kind of thing that I think as a society we should be doing for illicit drugs. Obviously, they cause problems. The question is, do you solve any of those problems by taking people who have drug problems and throwing them in prison?
I agree. One of the things about this that frustrates me, and just for to be completely open about this, when I was in college, I smoked dope. But that, you know, I stopped 35 years ago. I have no interest in starting again. I've got a daughter. Don't know if she's going to smoke pot. If she did, wouldn't drive me crazy. I would hope that she wouldn't go into other things beyond that. But she's in college now, and Dad experimented. I can't say you shouldn't experiment to her. But when I look at some of the people who have been in leadership positions, including our last three presidents, Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, these are all people who admitted, like I just did, that they used drugs when they were younger. But the fact of the matter is that none of them went to jail, and if they did, they would have had their lives ruined in a way that would have kept them from advancing to the presidency. Is that hypocrisy at the highest level, considering that these people have increased the amount of money we're spending on sending people like them to jail?
Well, you know, it's mind-boggling, really, the extent to which the hypocrisy has dripped from the various recent presidencies, and in fact, lots of people in leadership positions. And, you know, whatever else they might, like President Obama, for example, when he went to office, well, I think a lot of people were hoping that he would ease off on the drug laws. He hasn't done it, and that's because a lot of people are making money off the drug war. They're entrenched interests, just like there were, you know, the military-industrial establishments that always benefits when the country goes to war. There are a lot of people that make money when we continue to perpetuate this drug policy.
Is Obama's DEA still cracking down on medical marijuana facilities?
They really are, and it's amazing. They've slowed down on the raids because they draw a lot of attention. But they are going after people's property, the landlords of people, the landlords in California who rent property to dispensaries, for example. They're trying to take their money using civil forfeiture. It continues, and especially, it's especially interesting given what's happened in Colorado and Washington, that the feds keep pushing in California, and people are going to prison right now.
in Colorado, we've got a whole state that, 10 days ago started selling marijuana legally. They've got 400 some odd dispensaries and more that want to get into the business, and there are places that are growing that. The feds aren't going to crack down in Colorado, are they?
Well, they already have, and, you know, it remains to be seen what'll happen in the future. This is important because, you know, Colorado and Washington are going to be, if things work out, they could be model examples for, you know, the kind of drug policy to come for many other states. But we'll have to see. And, the feds don't have a great record when we're talking about easing off.
What percentage of people who are in prison right now, Paul, are in there for weed?
Well, it's the numbers are somewhat difficult to come across. All of the federal prisoners, people in federal prisons are in there for drug violations. Most of them for nonviolent drug violations. The pot thing is difficult because a lot of people who are in prison for pot is because, they get caught with pot after they're on parole and they end up going back to prison. But there are 800,000 arrests for marijuana every single year. And that's even, despite the fact that it's been decriminalized in many states.
800,000 arrests, and that's for marijuana use? Or is that somebody who is moving a boatload of marijuana up the Mississippi to sell it?
Well, it's a mixture of the two. The vast majority of arrests are, for possession. So some portion of that 800,000.
Why not move towards rehab? Why hasn't there been a push towards that? If we actually believe that the people who are doing drugs are harming themselves and we should stop them from harming themselves, why has there not been more of a push towards rehab?
That's a great question. And I think it's, again, because of the entrenched interest. If you look at a country like Portugal, they actually decriminalized all drugs 10 years ago. And they've found, had a great deal of success of all the money that they were, pushing for interdiction efforts, using for interdiction efforts. Some of that money has been rerouted, and so it's helping people with addiction problems, and they're finding good success. And you have a working example in Portugal and other places where, in Europe, for example, where it's been decriminalized, and they have success. So there are examples of success out there, and it's something the U.S. should emulate, from my perspective.
You mentioned the analogy to the military-industrial complex here in the failed war on drugs complex. Has the growth of the drug war industry gotten so out of control now that nobody could reel it back in?
Well, that's 5 years ago, I would have answered differently, I think. But, I think the cat's out of the bag at this point. And because you have, Colorado and Washington moving towards legalization of marijuana, that's going to, it's going to be like dominoes the next few years in terms of marijuana. And then we'll see, and I think, over the course of time, the last 40 years, things are moving slowly, ever so slowly in the right direction. Certainly popular opinion is in favor of legalizing marijuana.
Yeah. In fact, a Republican senator, a state senator in Maryland this week, said he's going to co-sponsor legislation with a Democrat that would allow regulated marijuana sales in Maryland. And I would have to think that some of that doesn't just come from, okay, we're realizing that marijuana isn't as bad as we thought. I think they're looking at the revenue from a state like Colorado, which sold $1 million worth of weed the first day. And that means $250,000 in revenue in one day from taxes.
Well, that's exactly right, and I think increasingly politicians, who are generally speaking the last people in the world to figure out what's going on, they're going to see that this is, to be on the right side of this issue is going to be beneficial, for their own careers, and, as that happens increasingly, we're going to see some pretty dramatic changes. At least I hope so.
This Maryland state senator said that he had talked to some young people, and they all told him that they have an easier time getting access to marijuana than beer. Is there any place in America where if you wanted any drug you wanted, you couldn't get it?
Well, I would guess that there are some places, gated communities, where it's difficult. You have to know somebody, but, it's not difficult. There are problems, obviously, with licensing and regulating any sort of product like, beer or alcohol. Or tobacco, but on the other hand, it's much more difficult, kids can't walk down to the 7-Eleven and buy a six-pack because there is a system in place to make it more difficult.
Right. But in those gated communities, they're getting any drug they want. And by the way, those are not the people who are going to jail for it.
That's exactly right.
The documentary is called America's Longest War. Paul Fine from Reason TV. Thanks so much for joining me here today.
Thanks. Have a good day now.
I'm Paul Harris. This is America Weekend.